Thank you. Thank you very much. What a way to start the sermon off, right? Good morning. Excuse me. I love you too. I'm thankful to be here today, as always. You know, it's Halloween. I've never really been a fan of Halloween. But I couldn't resist coming disguised as John Keyes this morning. For those of you that don't know him, just look for the guy that looks like me that'll be standing out in the foyer. We're going to be talking about a serious topic today. I'm going to be talking about God's will, something that's very confusing, something that typically is beyond belief as we're doing this series. Lots of people feel that it is beyond belief that we can know God's will, what God has plan for us. But what we're going to do today is break this down into a situation where I hope that you will come out with a better understanding of how all this works than you did when you came in. Our core 52 verse. Oh, let me greet the people that are at home, that may be at home today. We're thankful that you'll be watching. Anybody that's up in building B, we're thankful to have you with us as well. It's always good to know that people are tuning in from near and far, and you may be somewhere else in the country, but if you're local, we still would like to see your face here in person, so just think about it. If you're able to come back, God opens that door for you. We would welcome you to come back here in our sanctuary, and always good to greet you guys and hug you guys face to face here. But our verse, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And I'm just doing the first part of the verse because we're going to get into all of this a little bit later here. It says, can I know God's will? Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Can we instruct God? No, not really. God is sovereign. And that's what kind of makes this thing about God's will a little bit confusing. It makes it hard to have a concept of it, but the truth of the matter, it actually is easy. We can emphatically know God's will. And I'm going to give you some points here, and I've given you some points in your bulletin too as to how we can know God's will. The first way that we know God's will is through his word. Through his word. Because God never contradicts his word. I brought this little illustration up here this morning, and I grabbed it on the way out of the house. This isn't the original, but my mom had one of these on our dinner table when I was growing up. It's shaped like a loaf of bread, and it has on here our daily bread. And it says God's promise box. And each of these little cards has a verse on it. And when I was growing up, what she would make me do every morning is pull one of these verses out and read a promise of God. This one says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. 1 John 3:22. This one says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And the trick to this that my mom knew is that any one of these I pulled out, it wasn't like playing a game because this is the word of God. It wasn't like you got a lucky card or you got a bad card. Every one of these is going to be something good for us because these are the promises of God. And when we deal with the word of God, we know that it is something solid if we're God's people. But this is the part that people don't like when it comes to knowing God's will. I've gone through some quick and easy verses that God's given us out of His Word that people sometimes find a conflict with. The first and greatest commandment, love God and love others. That loving, some people can say I love God, but loving others, it becomes a little bit more difficult, but that's God's will. Making disciples in God's Word, it says that's God's will. How many of us actually go out and seek to talk to other people or bring other people in to the fold of God? Now, I'm not talking about let's just invite people to church. I'm talking about sitting down with them in a discipleship relationship. How many people do that regularly? How many people regularly, thank you, you should. I should have everybody's hand up here. How many people regularly share their faith? Sometimes we have to hide that in our back pocket, depending on the context of the environment we're in. Sexual purity, really tough sometimes, depending on the part of life you're in. I've talked to a lot of young people when they've come to me about a person they're interested in or they're thinking that this might be the one. And, you know, they're in a relationship, they're living together. I remember distinctly a young couple walked up to me. They were having all kinds of problems. And in the service, it wasn't this church, it was another church that I was visiting. And, you know, Chris, we want you to pray for us. We're having all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of problems in our relationship. And the first thing I asked you, are you married? And he said, no. I said, well, there. What do you expect? Now, I am not saying that if they get married, that's going to resolve all of their problems. But what I am saying is that you are directly disobeying the will of God. Why do you expect something to go right in your life if you're contradicting the will of God? Financial giving, you tithe. Do you do what the Bible is telling you to do regarding the distribution of your funds? Do we use our gifts? Do we really even know what our gifts are? Going to church. Now, obviously, you all are here. That's good. So I might be preaching to somebody that won't even hear this, but this is for your friend. It is God's will that you go to church. Yes, it is. He says that in His Word, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. So for all of you people that have people that say, I don't need to go to church, I don't trust church. If they don't trust church, that means they don't trust you. But if they haven't, you know, COVID was a big excuse for people to start coming to church. I remember before COVID, and we were meeting the elders meeting, we were talking about a new plan for parking because we had about 1,100 or 1,200 people coming here every Sunday, and right now we're right at about 600 people coming. So we don't have a parking issue anymore. But there will be a point where there's not an excuse that people have not to come to church, and people will use any, like, given excuse not to come to church. Oh, it's Sunday. That's my excuse not to come to church. But the Word of God says it's God's will that we go to church. I would dare say 90% of our knowledge of God's will in our lives is revealed to us already in this scripture, in His Word. The issue is, do we want to deal with what He's saying His will is? Do we want to obey that particular Word of God? Or that doesn't apply to me. I can deal with these verses, but those I'm not ready to deal with right now. So what that means is that we're living out of the will of God. Second thing that tells us how God's will is revealed, it's revealed through His Spirit. I want to give you a good dose of Scripture today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean under your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. Most of the time when we deal with our own understanding and it is different from what the will of God says, we are going to mess up. We're going to go off track. Galatians 5:16. Now, I wanted to pull this out of the Message version of the Bible so you could understand what it's saying here. It says, "My counsel is this. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there's a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence?" Don't we run on our feelings a lot of times? It's confusing when we allow our feelings to overtake what the Spirit of God is telling us. And really, a concept of understanding what the Spirit of God is foreign to a lot of people. The greatest thing that my wife said one time, she's teaching a group of children, is, "Do you talk to the Lord?" And, you know, kind of some of them scratched their head and they were like, well, yeah, I pray. And then she asked them, "What does he say back to you?" And that really blew their mind, because they're like, "He sends something back to me?" Yeah, the Spirit of God will speak to you if you have that type of relationship with him. So I want to ask you all, what does God say to you when you're dealing with a situation where you don't really understand, "God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle this particular situation?" Are you led through the Spirit? Are you connected to him in a way that his Spirit is talking to you? We'll talk about that a little bit. Third way God's will is revealed to us through his people. And look around you. God's will is revealed to us through his people. We have to understand, though, that this is what the church is truly about. I am glad I am a part of a God-fearing church under good leadership, because I don't know it all. Most of the time, quite frankly, if I'm dealing with Chris Freeman's emotions and feelings and knowledge, I'm going to be wrong. So I can call a Frank. I can call a Joe. You know, I can call one of the other elders that I'm close to and say, "Hey, I'm having a little problem with this. What do you think about this particular situation?" I want to read you some more scripture. Proverbs 11:14. It says here, "Where there's no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety." Most of the time when people get into a dicey situation or they're really confused, they hide. They have a tendency not to want people to know, "I'm having some struggles. I'm having some problems with this." But the Bible tells me it is God's will that I consult with his people on this particular thing that I'm dealing with. The problem is, a lot of times we consult with people that ain't his people. You know, my Uncle Larry told me that I ought to do X, Y, Z. And my Aunt Betsy told me I ought to do this. I got on Facebook and asked them, "What should I do in this situation?" And then you got all kinds of answers coming back from people that aren't godly people. Don't deal with people. Now, everybody in church isn't a strong, godly person. And the church is for people that are sick. You may have never seen a Bible verse before you walked in here today, and I guarantee you, if you haven't, don't feel odd. You're in exactly the right place. But we're all on different levels, and every one of us, from the person that's been here the longest to the person that might just be visiting here the first day, every one of us can teach each other something. We can learn something from somebody. Let me tell you who you learn the most from? Them children back there in the back. Because they're going to tell you exactly what the deal is. They're not going to cover anything up. They're going to tell you exactly what's on their heart. But we learn so much from his people. Colossians 1:28. It says, him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So really the issue we have here is in dealing with our maturity, our level of growth in Christ. People, the church is so important for our support, for our growth. Every other environment we deal with other people. We deal with other people on our jobs. We deal with other people in school. And then all of a sudden it gets to a situation where you're dealing with God and you decide you want to be off on an island because you don't want to deal with church. But sometimes there will come out of the blue a situation for somebody that needs some support in church. A sister came up to me, Liz, this morning and said, Chris, you don't know me and the church doesn't know me, but you all sent a card when I lost my son a few weeks ago from COVID, and it was so important to me. This is what the church does in lifting up, in supporting each other, and she wanted to make sure that I publicly thank you all for that. But there are times when Andrea and I first started coming to church here, and we didn't really know anybody. There was a sister that came over. Andrea laid one summer completely flat on her face because she had a retinal detachment and was completely blind for a summer. And many people here did not know us. But Dave and Jan Pardue came over to our house and they brought us a meal. And our sister Kathy came over to the house and sat with Andrea and prayed with her and had her discipleship group pray with her. So when you have a situation where you're dealing with difficulty, this is what the church is about. And God's will can surely be revealed to you from his people, the people that are mature and people that have good counsel. So, I started out asking the question, can I know God's will? And I went to the first part of the verse which said, so who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But here's the rest of it. But we have the mind of Christ. What a statement is that to make. Do you have the mind of Christ? Because if you don't, I'm going to help you get there. And there's nothing wrong with saying you don't have the mind of Christ, but I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of people just don't have the mind of Christ. And I'm not talking to people that are outside of the church. I'm talking to people that are inside of the church because we're not being led through his word. We're not being led through his spirit. And we're isolating ourselves from those people that can help us have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ means sharing the plan, purpose, and perspective of Christ, and it is something that all believers possess. Having the mind of Christ means we understand God's plan in the world to bring glory to himself, restore creation to its original splendor, and to provide salvation for sinners. It means that we identify with Christ's purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought it would be necessary to read for you this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 2 so that you get an understanding of where we're coming from with this mind of Christ thing. And this is the Apostle Paul that's talking here in 1 Corinthians. A lot of times we take one verse, two verse, and we isolate it, but it helps us to understand when we come from the whole context of Scripture. So I'm going to read you what this chapter says. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. This is Apostle Paul that says this. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen or ear has heard and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except his spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit. Get this. The person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. This is why people can't get with you when you talk to them about the Word of God. When you talk to them about a situation that God is talking about, when you give them advice about what God's will is, because you have gone through the Word and the Spirit has told you to tell them, this, you are living in sin. You're not living according to God's principles. So the decisions that you are making are not the right decisions. They think it's foolishness. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, Dr. Phil says I ought to do it this way. Well, Oprah says I ought to do it this way. And it's got nothing to do with the Word of God. And when you tell them what the Word of God says, well, gosh, I never heard that before. Total deer in the headlights. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. So here's our key verse. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the whole chapter. To help you understand, your mind shouldn't be like the mind of everybody else out there. You should be walking a different path. You should be a light in darkness. You should be salt in the earth, because we're built differently than the world. Because why? We're children of God. All who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any of you should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will, according to the word, that nobody is lost, but that everybody should reach a point of repentance, a point of knowing him, a point of understanding and having the mind of Christ. And when you look at a situation where everything is torn apart and people are so confused and it looks like division is growing rapidly, isn't this something that everybody needs? Isn't this something that the world needs? Oh, y'all ought to be talking to me now. Come on, wake up out there. So what are you going to do about it? What will you do about the situation that you see out there that we all complain about? And we sit and we watch the news, and some of us don't watch the news. I hate watching the news because it's all bad news. And we're sitting in our lovely, easy chairs in our couches in our homes, and we come up here and fold our hands for 2 hours in church, and we walk out here and say, oh, that was good music, it was a good sermon, and we do nothing to change it. Acts 2:38 says, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit thing we talked about. That all of us are supposed to possess. That I don't assume that everybody in church, because you're a church person, because you are a member of CCW, that you possess the Holy Spirit. I presume that you can be guided by the Spirit. I don't presume that you got in the water and got wet. That you possess the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking blasphemy. I am talking about a situation where you have truly changed, repented, and given your life to Jesus Christ, and there is a switch that turned on in you that allows you now to be able to be thinking according to the Word and having the mind of Christ. And if we are a powerless church, we shouldn't exist. If you are a powerless Christian, then you are operating against the will of God. And quite frankly, if you're powerless, that means you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us possess the Holy Spirit, but we don't allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives. It's like having a house full of electricity and we never turn a light on. We do not use or activate the power that is within us. Because we haven't opened up our minds to operating with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, as I just read, stands in contrast to man's wisdom. It is given to the believers through his Spirit, and it gives his children discernment. It means we need to be able to look at a situation and call it what it is. Not only in somebody else's life, but most important in our own lives. I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't got it all together. Just ask her. But I need her, and God connected her. He connected us to each other so that we can sharpen each other as a couple and be a light and example to others. And that stands true for each and every one of you that is called a child of God. The situation that the church deals with is operating like the world does. Instead of understanding that we need to be different. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that mind of Christ, that by testing you may discern what the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." God's perfect will. Our mind has to be renewed. And when it is renewed, we deal with God's perfect will. I'm bringing this bench up because I got to sit down on this next point a little bit. Frank told me I preached way too long the last time, but I'm still going to try to get y'all out of here. So, but I got to slow down right here. God's will is revealed through circumstances. And I didn't put that in your bulletin, but I want to talk about this for a second. And it was so enlightening when the praise team talked about this in that song this morning. It says, can't go back to the beginning, can't control what tomorrow will bring, but I know that you're in the middle of all of this. And I've had people tell me, you know, I don't want God, I don't want church because of my situation, because of my circumstance, because of the car crash that killed my parent, because of the disability that my child was born with, because of the job that I lost, because of the person that walked away from me and left me alone, because of my situation of homelessness, because of my chronic illness, because I was abused as a child. Was it God's will, Chris, that those terrible things happened to me? And it's a difficult situation to be in. And I can emphatically say, it is never God's will that bad things happen to us. So then, why do bad things happen to good people is the big word. God, and this isn't in Mark Moore's, I kind of deferred from Mark Moore's book, and I still want you all to study that this week, but there's God's perfect will and God's permissive will. I need you all to understand this particular situation and how this works in our lives. God's perfect will was set up in the Garden of Eden when he created it for Adam and Eve, and he left them there and said, be fruitful and multiply, and everything's going to be good. And they had it made. And the permissive will said, when the serpent talked to Eve and said, don't do what God said because he doesn't want you to be like him, and she ate the fruit. Now, could God have slapped that fruit out of her hand? Yeah, he could have. But he didn't. His permissive will said, you know what? You're my children. I love you, but I am not going to control you because true love to me that you represent says you're going to do what I say. We're not a bunch of robots, as people would think Christians are. God allows us certain things. And you know, I would use this analogy like this. He give us enough rope to hang ourselves. But the good thing is, if we are his children, his permissive will still comes back to his perfect will. I think of all of the bad decisions, the wrong things I did, the situations that happened to me in my life that took me and my family totally off track. And yet and still, he allowed me to end up in a situation here where I'm on a stage preaching. I'm a South Carolinian, love South Carolina, want to be there. My mess up situation allowed me to be in Florida. I had no intention of being in Florida. Had no intention of preaching. But the situation that I messed up in and put me in turned some way into 20-some years later, I'm up here on stage preaching to a bunch of white people. That is only, I mentioned the race thing again. I'm sorry, y'all. But that can only be something that God orchestrated out of a situation that wasn't my intention, out of mistakes that I made in my life, but he still put me in this particular situation. I look at it like this. People get mad at God because they're not thinking about God's will. They're thinking about their will. They're thinking about what they want to do. And I look at it as a situation that God is sovereign. God does what he wants to do, but your situation impacts their situation, and their situation impacts their situation. So you can't completely have your way all the time because it may block their way, but he is God, and we don't understand his mind, but he works it all out some kind of way. You look at an air traffic controller or you look at a series of highways and roads and stuff, and we're driving down the highway and we're in a hurry to get somewhere and stoplight. Oh, man, stoplight. Get past the stoplight and we sneak up to 60 and the traffic and it's 45. I'm going to take the shortcut because I got to get there. We take the shortcut, go down a bad road, we have a flat tire. What is going on? That is life and the way God directs it. If you think about the times where God slowed you down, where you had a flat tire, where you might have even ran off the road and wrecked, do you look at it in a situation where God has orchestrated certain things to get you to the point where he wants you? Your circumstances sometimes are exactly God's plan. And what you need to understand is that he runs things, he manages things. And even if we messed up, he loves us so much that he's not going to let our mess up ruin us. He turns those mess up into messages. And that is, again, is why the church is so important, because you might be here tore up from the floor up and you walking in here saying, you know what, I've tried everything and I'm going to come into this church and I'm going to try this because they say I need to try it. I guarantee you, whatever you messed up in, there's another brother or sister here that's messed up, but they've overcome it. And the reason we have the church is because we have our testimonies that will allow us to know that, you know what, if they got out of it, God can get me out of this too, and he can get me to the purpose that he has for me to be in. So no, we are not promised perfect lives through these promises here, but what we are promised is that it's going to work out. You know why? Because the word says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. purpose. We got to remember, y'all, his purpose, not your purpose. It's not about you. It has never been about you. And if we have the mind of Christ, we will understand that it is not about us. So the next time we get down in the dumps, we get frustrated because things ain't going our way, remember, it's not about me anyway. A lot of times, God doesn't give us what we want because it's not what we need. Real easy. I'm going to give them children a whole bunch of candy tonight. That ain't what they need. Sometimes he gives us what we want and we learn our lesson later. But he is the ultimate correct parent. I might want this job. I might want to move here. I might want him in my life. I might want her in my life. And I'm praying and I'm asking God, and God is saying, ah. And we're frustrated. And that permissive will, sometimes we just bust through. He's got all kinds of stop signs, all kinds of red lights, all kinds of things that keep holding us up from getting to the point that we're trying to get to. And we bust through and we go against his will and we wear that whipping well. We learn that lesson. We have to remember that God is always for us. He's always for our good. Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And we might think that our situation right now isn't good, but he's got something better for us waiting down the road. I'm encouraged by the Apostle Paul. We're studying about that on Wednesday nights, and we would love for some of you to join. We're almost finished, actually, so, you know, but still come out. But we learned the situation that Apostle Paul went through. You talking about a bad luck dude? Got snake bit, shipwrecked, beat, put in jail for 2 years. All kind of crazy stuff happened to Paul, but he had the guts to say, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed with us." Our testimony, church, the world will turn to Jesus when they see that, you know what? I see what they're going through. I see what happened to them in their life. I see this situation or that situation, but they're still happy. They still have joy. I cannot understand why they don't go jump off the bridge. It is because I have a greater good. I have a greater presence in my life. And that's God. That's allowed me to have the mind of Christ to help me to understand. You know what? This isn't about me. It is about promoting him. It is about his will. So, as I review what we've talked about in God's will, I hope you will understand better the purpose that God has for you and why some things may be going on in your life right now that you don't understand. He means it for good. God's will is revealed through his word. Do you get into his word? Do you know his word? Do you understand his word? Or the only time you hear Bible verses when you're in church? Are you taking the time to read and meditate on his word? You can get most of your answers just by looking at his word. And when you see an absolute in that scripture that's going against what it is that you're doing, you need to stop doing what you're doing. And you need to start doing what God is telling you to do. Does God talk to you? Do you hear him? Or all you're just doing is praying, "Oh, God, I need this. God, I want that. God, take this away from me. God, bring this to me." And you're so much blabbing off, and he's trying to tell you something, but you're talking so much, you're not even listening. Take the time to pray and then stop and wait and listen to what he's telling you. And if he's not telling you anything, you need to check yourself. Am I really connected to God? Am I really one of his children? Because the word says, my sheep hear my voice. Or are you letting the other voices overtake what it is you're hearing and acting on those other voices that are talking to you? And there's another spirit, too, that we don't talk about. It's a perfect situation for Halloween. There's a bad spirit out there, too. And I guarantee you, he's trying to yell louder and louder and louder than the Spirit of God is. But it is to the extent that you allow the Word of God to connect with you that it'll drown out all of the bad stuff that's coming to you. So don't confuse which spirit is talking to you, because the wrong one is trying to talk to you a whole lot more than the right one. Lastly, find you a brother or sister or a group that can hold you accountable and you can hold them accountable, because these brothers and sisters here, yeah, they can look at me and look me in the eye and check me and tell me about things and correct me, and I can do the same, and we won't be mad at each other because we know it's in love. Or we shouldn't be mad. Or you might go away mad for a second, but you know what? What they said to me was meant for good, because I know that this is a strong person that's operating out of spirit and operating the will of God. We have a prayer group that comes up here every Sunday. They stand over here under this banner, and if my prayer people are here, I want you all to come up here now. I want you all to be aware of it. If you want to talk to some people, you want to pray about your situation or pray about God's will in your life or something you're confused about, take the time out to do it now. Most importantly, if you find that you're not connected to God and his Holy Spirit is not driving you, or you know that you need to give your life to Christ, the water's always ready. And we're always ready to welcome you. I thank you all for today for listening. I ask that the words of God meditate in your heart and that you walk according to them. Amen.